Three, two, one. We're back at Trade Talk at the National Association of Farm Broadcasters meetings here in Kansas City, and I am with Roger Johnson, president of the National Farmers Union. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing very well, Dustin. Thank you.
So we had a big shakeup on Tuesday. The elections are over now. We know who we're going to be dealing with coming into the next administration, next Congress. What are the things you're kind of thinking going ahead?
Well, you know, there is more uncertainty with this election result than there is with any in recent history because, you know, this was a... First of all, you had two candidates that were widely unpopular. And so it was as much a vote against the other person as it was a vote for your person. You had that dynamic. You had the dynamic of President-elect Trump sort of fighting a lot of folks within the Republican Party. I think in a lot of ways the election is sort of a repudiation of politics as normal, of sort of a pox on all your houses. It'll be interesting to see where it goes, but there's just less that we know as a result of that. And the fact that during the campaign, Mr. Trump didn't provide sort of the detailed policy agenda that you typically see with campaigns during a presidential year. So there's less of that kind of stuff to parse through and try and figure out where he's at. Having said that, it's pretty clear that, you know, there are some pretty big issues that he ran on and that I think people responded to. Certainly immigration was one of those. And I think we'll have a hard time finding common ground on that question. Trade was another huge one. And frankly, I know that a lot of our members voted for him because of his position on trade. And it is not because either he or we are against trade. We're for trade. But the way these trade agreements have been negotiated has not been optimum for this country, to put it mildly. Now, it's true that in agriculture, we end up with a trade surplus. That's a good thing. I mean, that's why you see most of agriculture supporting all these agreements. The problem, however, is that trade surplus is just a tiny, tiny blip on the screen in the face of an enormous trade deficit that the rest of the economy faces. We've got about $500 billion trade deficit in this country. That's someplace between 2 and 5 million jobs that are located someplace outside of this country to produce the stuff that we end up buying because of that trade deficit. It's a 3% drag on GDP. So I think the anger around that issue was just palpable in this election and was a substantial reason why all the way through the Rust Belt, where the changes, you know, the real gains in terms of the map were made by in this election, those were largely trade-related kind of gains. And so I think the free traders in this country are going to have to do some real deep soul searching about trying to figure out what the new model is. And there is a new model, and it's not that complicated to get to. Folks who have been just perfect advocates of these trade agreements have, in too many cases, I think, been viewed by the electorate as being sort of elite, sort of, you know, holier than thou, knowing more than anyone else, and just take our word for it, and we're not going to talk about the downsides, we're only going to talk about the upsides. And this election is what resulted from that.
A lot of people that I talked to that did vote or have said, even if they didn't vote for him, said the one thing they did admire was you knew what you were getting when he did talk.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you knew what you were getting. There was not a lot of what are they trying to say? And, you know, and that's been one thing you hear across the board, no matter what the party was, that people are kind of want to know what they've got a hand and they want to know what's happening one way or the other.
Yeah, I think that is true. So trade's an area where I think we can find, as an organization, we should be able to find a lot of common ground with the incoming Trump administration. But there are places where we are going to be a long ways away, and I would just point to climate change as being one of those. Our members accept the science. We know the climate is changing. We know from all the studies that have been done, the evidence that's there, that that mankind's having a significant impact on these changes, and that we've got to do something about it. And to ignore it or pretend it doesn't exist, to say to the rest of the world, we're just going to ignore the Paris Agreement, we're going to just turn our backs on that, after we got China and everyone else to the table, that is real concerning. So, you know, I guess if you want to put a positive spin on it, it is, or maybe not a positive, but a hopeful spin on it, it is that we also know that in every campaign, there are promises made that just absolutely cannot be kept. I mean, that's just the way it is. And the same thing is true in this case. I mean, I don't imagine we're going to see a 35 or 40 foot wall. I don't imagine that all those 11 million immigrants are going to be deported, although that changed during the campaign. So you'll see some of those things that are going to moderate substantially, and hopefully, at least on the question of climate, that might be one that could moderate and we could find some common ground with the rest of the world. We'll see.
All right. And as far as other topics in agriculture, I know dairy prices has been one thing that has been a concern across the board, and I know National Farmers Union has been one of those pushing for help for the farmers. Things have changed since the summer when we spoke at Farm Fest. What are you seeing here, and how are you looking at that horizon right now?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of concern. I mean, there are, you know, all of agriculture, frankly, is making very significant financial adjustments, economic adjustments, because the market is just so bad. And dairy is almost always, it's the industry that feels it first. They end up with monthly paychecks. You see them right away. You don't have the option to hold that product and market it at different times to try and meet market peaks. Having said all of that, the likelihood of Congress doing anything, I think that's going to be a challenge, particularly after the election, because you now have Republican control all the way through. The leverage that I thought we might have was really with folks like Colin Peterson, who might be able to sort of work with the Democrats in the Senate to try and bring some more to dairy. I think that's going to be a tougher challenge now. But the ultimate fix there, it's got to be in the next Farm Bill. And so if we can do everything possible to try and move a Farm Bill on time for a change, that'd be a good thing. Now, Mr. Peterson and others have been calling for an early Farm Bill, in large part because of the dairy crisis, but, you know, cotton and some of the other issues as well. And we're fine with that. We would be very favorable towards that. Whether that's going to happen is anybody's guess. But the more people say we want it done early, the more likely we might at least get it done on time.
Right.
And that's a big deal, because people need to understand that the way Congress works is they work in two-year chunks. And if something isn't done in that two-year session, then they start all over. That's what happened the last Farm Bill. It was supposed to be done in 12, ended up getting 2 years delayed into 14. And so this one, 18 is the deadline. You know, that's when it expires. So we can get her done in 17 or 18, we're fine. But if we don't, we start all over in 19 with a new Congress.
And that's not going to be a fun thing. And we had Congressman Peterson on just a couple weeks ago, and he said that he still thinks it's going to be an uphill battle. He said even no matter what the election was going to turn out to be.
Yeah, and I know part of his rationale is that the Republicans in the South are going to have to respond to the farmers in the South who are feeling more economic pain than a lot of folks up north. And that's not so much the dairy issue as it is, you know, all the other southern crops. But it's, you know, there's a bit of dairy down there as well. So that was his theory, is that they, you know, they're going to have to do something to respond. And it's good that it's the Republicans feeling the pressure, because they're the majority party. So that's where you want it to be felt.
I know. And he said that with being a bad year almost, you know, across the nation, he said it's going to be easier to, hopefully a little easier to help push it forward. But like he said, yeah, some of the northeastern politicians still want to separate out the benefits of the SNAP program, stuff like that. And he said that makes it a lot harder when you're talking about Farm Bill.
Yeah, it's that's a non-starter. I mean, there's always been this sort of trifecta, this three-legged stool on in trying to get a Farm Bill through, and it's the farmers, it's the conservation or environmental community, and it's the nutrition community. If you don't have those, you don't get a Farm Bill. I mean, you just don't. And for those folks who want to pull the nutrition title and SNAP program out of the Farm Bill, that's just an effort to kill them both. That's not a good answer.
All right. Well, President Johnson, I thank you for taking the time to visit with us today. Always a pleasure.
Yep. Always good to be with you, Dustin.
Thank All right. That was President Roger Johnson of the National Farmers Union. We'll be back from Kansas City after this.